Now, back to Dimitri, live and dangerously local on Big Willie 105.5, River Talk 1290 AM, 100.1 FM, 100.9 FM, and 1430 AM, a River Network production.
Download the River Network app and then click Big Willie 105.5 to get Dimitri Monday, Dimitri live and dangerously local, Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern Time. And then you get Dimitri Encore and Dangerously Local on the River Talk Radio Network Thursdays and Fridays. Is it 7 a.m. or 8 a.m.? I'm not quite. They've changed the times for the Encore presentations to give more people an opportunity to drink in the Dimitri experience. Yeah, that's a nice way of saying it. Drink in the Dimitri experience. Yes, I like that. Anyway, just listen on Thursdays and Fridays for Dimitri Encore and Dangerously Local at some point in the morning. I literally don't know. They told me they switched the times, and now I don't remember what times. Anyway, Thursdays and Fridays, River Talk Radio Network, 100.1 FM, 100.9 FM, the Mighty 1290, the Sturdy 1430, the audio path of totality. And again, download that River Network app, and then for live, it's Big Willie 105.5. Make sure you click that. All right, fine. Thanks so much for joining us. David Demarest was a guest last hour. Terrific guy, just absolutely a wonderful guy. It's a shame that one of his churches closed. He was the pastor, and they closed the church, but he still has two others, so let's see how long they can stay open now with him as a pastor. But the big event is the Brain Ball coming up the 21st on the island, the casino, and wish everyone well. Go there and have a great time. Take pictures of David in his purple jumpsuit. And his handler, Diane, with her beautiful blue, purple gown. All right, so next. The state of the local media is pretty bad. And I've documented it over the years here at Dimitri Live and Dangerously Local. That's just kind of what I do. The reason that I do that, well, two reasons. One, because I think you find it interesting. If you did not find it interesting, I wouldn't be doing it. That's the number one reason. But I believe you actually care about this because you care about the valley, you care about news, you care about being told the truth, you care about finding out about stuff. The second reason that I do that is because I have standards. I have journalism standards. And I know what it's like to work at a major daily newspaper. I know what it's like to work on at major market TV and radio stations. And so being here now in the Upper Ohio Valley, trying to, and I mean trying, honest to God, trying to wade through the crap that is the local newspapers, these failed newspapers of the publisher, Billionaire Bob, it's anybody who cares about journalism, it's just soul-crushing. TV stations are not much better. And some days they're actually worse. If you can believe that, some days 7 and 9 are actually worse than the Wheeling Unintelligencer or the Times Leader or the Herald Star or any of the other failed newspapers of Wheeling's bungling billionaire. Today's a good example. I force myself to watch the local news on 7 and 9 before I come to work, so I have some sense of, you know, am I missing any stories? I got to make sure that I'm on top of everything, which normally I am, of course. But that's what I have to do. And it's no fun. Let me tell you, it's no fun. It's like, oh, my God, this is your lead story. Oh, my God, really? There's nothing going on, really. But I do this. Today was especially bad, but a really good indicator of just how useless the local media is. Especially 7. So I typically watch the lead-in to the 5 a.m. news on 9. I watch it on on 9. It's an NBC news show, and a few minutes before 5 o'clock, local anchors come on and say, we're going to talk about this, that, or the other. So I have a sense of what they're going to talk about. I've already seen it on their website. I just want to see if there are any surprises. There weren't any. There never are. Then I flip over to 7, and 7 is on two of my cable channels, the ABC and CBS, because 7, I guess, has CBS and ABC programming. I don't understand how that works, but they're on two of them with the local news. And I go back and forth, and one's more god-awful than the other. This morning, there was not even any local news on 7. I swear to you, I'm not making this up. I actually took a picture and posted it on Facebook at, I guess, 5 o'clock. There was no local news. And you can't say, well, it was a holiday, so everybody was off. It was a vacation day or whatever. No, they just did. It was nothing. It was just more CBS network news. 5 a.m., where they should be doing their lame-ass local newscast. Nothing. No set of Channel 7, no WTRF, no local, whoever the local announcers are this week. They go through in like musical chairs. And not even an explanation why they did not even have local news on. It was unbelievable to me. It was like, really? You can't even explain why you can't do a newscast when you're supposed to do it at 5 o'clock? You can't even explain that? I literally took a picture of that and posted it this morning on my Facebook page. I don't know if they ever got their act together. Maybe nobody showed up at 5 o'clock to do the newscast. Maybe somebody showed up at, 5:30 or 6, or maybe nobody showed up. I've no earthly idea. It is just that bad. And this is kind of what you have to deal with here in the Upper Ohio Valley, because the local media here is so god-awful. It is just god-awful news. And I want to stress one thing here. I never blame the reporters. Not on 7, not on 9, not even with billionaire Bob's failed newspapers. The reason that Dimitri never blames the reporters is because I know what's really going on. These are children. They're hired for next to nothing, a little bit more than minimum wage, I'm guessing. Can't be much more than that. They typically have no experience in news, no real experience. This is an entry-level job for them. They're happy to have it. They're happy to get any sort of a paycheck, no matter how meager, and they're not well-trained at all. And the people further up the food chain at billionaire Bob's failed newspapers or at 7 and 9 have no real motivation to teach them how to be good reporters. In fact, at 7 it's so bad, their news director now is somebody who had been a reporter for NPR. NPR. Tell me how much you hate Trump without telling me how much you hate Trump, Channel 7. NPR. She's NPR. It's unbelievable. I mean, it's just like, really? It's really, really, really bad. But they don't train the children that they're reporters. So I don't blame them. I actually feel sorry for them, because I know they're trying their best. They're very likable. They're typically very likable. Not the newspaper ones so much, because you don't really need to be likable if you're a newspaper writer, because the nature of the beast, you're not being invited into somebody's home or anything. But the TV reporters typically are very likable, nice people, because you're inviting them into your home. Newspaper reporters, the personalities don't matter, because you're not really, buying a newspaper for anyone's personality. And of course, nobody buys the newspapers anymore because they're such a joke. Hashtag nutting sucks. So I don't blame them. This story that I have for you is a great example of how god-awful the local news coverage is. I do not blame the reporter. I actually met her a couple times. Seems like a lovely, truly a lovely human being. It's not her fault. She has to answer to editors, news directors, general managers, whatever, all the way up the food chain at 9. They're the ones responsible for this train wreck. Really, really, really important questions that had to be asked that were not. And as bad as 9 is, and I'll give you an example, and yes, we have the audio, we're going to play it all, I've got the script, we're going to play all of it, and I'll dissect this for you. Because at the end of the day, it's not even about 9's pathetic news coverage. It's about a little boy who almost drowned. And no one seems to care what really happened here. Now, I'm sure some people do care, obviously. But I can't name anyone. And part of it is the media coverage here is so bad. Now, in fairness to Nine, as bad as it is, as far as I can tell, they're the only ones who even had the story. I didn't see anything on Seven. I didn't see anything with Bob Nutting's failed newspapers. Maybe it's there. All I can tell you is I did a brief search, Mingo Junction pool drowning or Mingo Junction pool, whatever. Couldn't find anything. So to the best of my limited knowledge, Nine is the only one that had the story. So you got to give them credit, which I do. I've done that. By the way, when I tell people, Dimitri's all you've got, that's why you got to download the River Network app. This is another example of that, because nobody else will talk with you about that. A local kid, a five-year-old, almost drowned in a municipal pool. And all you hear around here, it's unbelievable. All right, so first, the story that I'm going to read. I'm not even going to mention the reporter's name. This is not her fault. I never talk about reporters here in the Valley, because these are just children who are just trying to get by. This is an example of the problems with the platforms, with the TV stations, with the newspapers, and that's a management problem. That's not a reporter problem. That's a management problem. So here's the story from Nine. Mingo Junction Police Chief Willie McKenzie said a five-year-old boy was playing in the 2.5-foot part of the pool and then made his way over to the 4.5-foot section. And the headline, by the way, I should have started with the headline. That's my bad. The headline is Police Investigate Incident at Mingo Junction Pool, Boy Rescued by Lifeguard. Mingo Junction, Ohio. It was an unsettling scene at the Mingo Junction Pool on Saturday, a little after 3 p.m., after a young boy was submerged underwater for approximately 2.5 minutes, which resulted in him being transported by medical helicopter. Mingo Junction Police Chief Willie McKenzie said the five-year-old boy was playing in the 2.5-foot part of the pool and then made his way over to the 4.5-foot section. Again, this is the Channel 9 story, and credit to them, because as far as I know, they're the only ones who even had this. So got to be fair. Police investigate the incident at Mingo Junction Pool. McKenzie says it was too deep for him. He was then submerged in water. It appeared watching a video that he was actually trying to fight for his life, trying to recover and go back to the 2.5-foot before ultimately he was totally submerged and became unconscious. When he was pulled out of the water by a lifeguard, CPR was administered, and then he was transported by medical helicopter a short time later. He was life flighted from Indian Creek School, which is here in Mingo, up to Children's UPMC in Pittsburgh, McKenzie said. McKenzie said he, although he didn't say Pittsburgh, he said Pittsburgh. Please tell McKenzie that Pittsburgh is spelled with T's and not K's. Thank you. McKenzie said he spoke with the family on Monday and the boy is home after being released on Sunday. Additionally, he said that children 12 years or younger have to be always accompanied by an adult. Okay, McKenzie said it is now an ongoing investigation, and his quote, we're still investigating it because there is angles to our camera systems and stuff like that, and we just want to make sure that this child was accompanied. We just want to make sure that this does not happen again. No child should be left unattended at any time. Wanna. So where do we begin with this? What I'm going to do after this short break is I'm going to play you the audio, and then we're going to stop the audio at key points to ask some very troubling questions here. Because this story about a little five-year-old boy damn near drowning, this never should have happened. And there are lots of really important questions that were not asked. And quite frankly, I don't know why they were not asked. Because you could, even when the reporter brings the story back to the editor or to the news director or, you know, people further up the food chain, anyone worth anything would take one look at this and go, call McKenzie back and ask him these questions. He might not have the answers. He might not want to say what the answers are. And that's fine, but you include that in the story. But they did not do that. If I were the news director at 9, or news director anywhere, it doesn't matter, that would be what I would do. And you're going to hear some really important questions, and when you hear these questions, you're going to go, what the hell was going on there at that Mingo Junction pool?